good to have everyone back from camp. I went up on Friday. Everyone seemed to be having a great time. I went up on Friday night and spent some time with them. Oh, you'll notice that there are new pew Bibles spread out among you, and it coincides with the version that I preach from, so I appreciate the elders doing that for us. If you would be grabbing a Bible and be turning to Psalm 23. Now, you may have heard about the Merino sheep in New Zealand named Shrek, and that's a breed that's normally shorn once a year, but apparently he didn't like losing his coat, and so he ran away, and he hid in caves for 6 years until he was finally discovered and caught in 2004. Now, some breeds of sheep naturally will just lose their wool each year, but not Merinos. When they found him, his fleece weighed 60 pounds, and it contained enough wool to make 20 large men's suits. And, you know, an average Merino fleece only weighs around 10 pounds. Well, for some reason, the people thought it was really funny, and Shrek became a national icon. There was a children's book that was made. Shrek was taken to Parliament, where he got to meet the New Zealand Prime Minister and so forth. But the point that I want to make is that Shrek ended up carrying 6 times the normal weight of his fleece with all of the burden and the heat and the danger that came with it because it was all because he was away from his shepherd. All right, let's go ahead and read our psalm together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So for 3,000 years, people have been reading and memorizing and receiving comfort from this psalm. It's many people's favorite. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard it read at funerals. Now, the sheep shepherd imagery is actually found quite a bit in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I think if you get out your concordance and you look up those words, well, you might actually be surprised. Well, the author of this psalm is King David, of course, who was a shepherd in his youth. But this psalm comes from the perspective of a sheep. Now, I grew up in California, and you know, they certainly have sheep in California, but it's nothing like New Zealand, where there are more sheep than people. It's been estimated that there's something like 6 to 10 sheep for every person. Now, I had to read this book. And it's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Help me understand a little bit more. And what I discovered is that sheep, on their own, I mean, there's no nice way to put it, well, they're pretty pitiful. I mean, you do some research, and one thing that you learn about sheep is they're not the smartest animals in the world. So that children's show, Shaun the Sheep, is completely inaccurate, if you didn't know. I mean, there's a reason why you probably never heard of a circus sheep. Now, I went on YouTube, and I found 3 videos with circus sheep in the title. Well, the first one, it just ended up being a sheep that went round and round in circles, most likely had a neurological problem. The second one, they actually trained to push a beer container with its nose, so I guess that's something. And the third one ended up being a goat. And that wasn't even very exciting. Well, something else is that under mismanagement, I mean, they can be the most destructive of livestock. They will ruin and ravage land almost beyond remedy. See, they are dumb, smelly, defenseless, stubborn, and they have a tendency to roam. See, without a good shepherd, sheep are easy prey for wolves and mountain lions and thieves and their own foolish devices. Is there any wonder why the Bible constantly compares us to sheep? All right, let's go ahead and work through this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay, but who is the Lord? I mean, does he have adequate credentials? Well, he is the creator of the universe. You know, the one with an estimated 100 billion galaxies and 100 billion stars in each galaxy. Of course, some say the number is much greater. He is the great I Am, who caused the 10 plagues, parted the Red Sea, and brought his people to the Promised Land. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the God of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the Savior of mankind who came to earth and opened the eyes of the blind and healed the lame. And he went to the cross to lay down his life for the sheep. He is the one who was raised on the third day, as he said, and the one who is coming back. All right, but do I really need a shepherd? I mean, why can't I just be on my own? I like being independent. Because the destructive characteristics of sheep are often the destructive characteristics of people. And as Keller said in his book, sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock endless and meticulous care. Matthew 9:36, Jesus says of Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Now, another thing is that sheep, they tend to wander and get lost. And as you know, people, they have no sense of spiritual direction on their own. They're just wandering around, you know, not knowing which way to go. 1 Peter 2:25, for you are continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. You see, sheep need a shepherd, and we need a shepherd and guardian of our souls. But are you sure that people really need a shepherd? Man, just watch the news. Just look around you. Now, I want to draw your attention to how personal this psalm is. See, he didn't say, the Lord is the shepherd of the sheep. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's just Yahweh and David. See, it said that the ancient shepherds, they would often name each of the sheep, and they knew every one of them quite well. You see, the Lord, he's not going to get confused about who you are. He knows those of us who are his, and he knows all of us personally. He is interested in every single sheep. And I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good, especially considering who this shepherd is. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said that, he told us that the very hairs of our head are numbered. See, he knows more about you than you know more about yourself. I shall not want, and of course this means, as the NIV translates it, I shall not be in want. The world is always in want. It's like they've got this hole that they're always trying to fill. I mean, there's this mad scramble for power and prosperity and popularity and possessions and passion and pleasure. But no matter how much they get, no matter how much they shovel into their hole, they're never satisfied. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, he completely expected to find just total satisfaction in that distant country. But instead, he found hunger, humiliation, and homesickness. You know, I think Blaise Pascal, the French scientist and philosopher, was right. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every man which cannot be filled by any created thing. Now, it's not, I shall not want because my wallet's fat. It's, I shall not want because the Lord is my shepherd. See, he takes care of all of my needs, both physical and spiritual. Not all of my greeds. See, I don't always get what I know, you know, don't always get the things that I might desire, but all of my needs. You remember that Jesus told us in Matthew 6 to look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, and he said that, oh, we're worth so much more than those to God. So David is saying, look, I am completely satisfied with his management of my life. He's the perfect shepherd. See, he never sleeps. He's always attentive to my needs and my welfare. And Keller, he talked about the sheep that were in the farm next to his and how they were neglected. And the land was neglected. The sheep weren't well, they were not well cared for. The owner was callous. He was indifferent toward the sheep, and they were always in want. And he said that they would, those skinny sheep, they'd stand there at the fence, you know, huddled together, just looking longingly through the wires at the great and the rich pastures on the other side. The Lord is my shepherd. I long for nothing. And so David now goes on to explain, I shall not want, in the rest of the psalm. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, I learned that sheep will not lie down unless they are free from four things: fear, tension with other sheep, aggravation, you know, from things like flies and other insects, and hunger. Well, the shepherd makes that possible. And green pastures, well, they may have been hard to find in Palestine, but a good shepherd, now he finds them. And so the picture is of God's people lying down in quiet contentment, knowing they're taken care of. So those in the world, they're often agitated. They're often worried about so many things. They usually have no peace. But for us, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. He leads me beside quiet waters. Now, notice that it's he leads me and not drives me. I heard about a tour guide in Palestine who was taking a group of people and showing them around and explaining how, well, the Palestinian shepherds, the sheep always follow the shepherd. They, you know, the shepherds don't drive the sheep out before them. And sure enough, around that time, here came some sheep that were, well, they were not following, but rather being driven by a man. They were going out in front of them, and so embarrassed, the tour guide stopped the man and said, "Sir, I thought that the sheep always follow the shepherd." "They do," he said. "I'm the butcher." Now, sheep are said to be afraid of running water. You know, there's the sound, there's the noise, there's the possibility of being swept out. And like most animals, sheep can swim. But, you see, if they have a full fleece, well, their wool becomes too heavy and it can easily cause them to drown. And if they are not led to a good place to get water, well, they're just going to drink out of any source, like a small, stagnant, muddy hole that's, you know, filthy and polluted. It's just going to give them diseases and parasites. But this shepherd, you see, he cares about our needs and our fears, and he leads us to quiet waters. He brings us to the living water that springs up to eternal life. John chapter 4, verse 14, "Whoever drinks of the water I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." You see, those with parched lives are looking everywhere for water. And sadly, well, they often end up getting water out of mud holes, just filthy and polluted. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's investigation of life, well, he talked about quite a few of these mud holes that, guess what, people are still drinking from today. "He restores my soul." And as your study help will explain, the word soul in the Old Testament is usually referring to the life, is referring to the body and the spirit together. And see, the shepherd causes an exhausted and weary life to be strengthened and to be refreshed. Now, sheep, they don't just need green pastures and quiet waters. There's something else that happens to a sheep that needs restoring. And sometimes they are what is called cast down. So what does that mean? Well, sometimes a sheep is, well, it's spreading out and it's lying down, stretching out, and well, it loses its center of gravity. And well, it can't get back up. It's just rolling around on its back looking ridiculous and pathetic. And this can cut off blood supply, and of course, it causes the sheep to be easy prey for predators. And if the shepherd doesn't find and turn them right, they can easily die within a few hours. And this may be the picture that Jesus gave of the shepherd leaving the 99 sheep and looking for the one, which of course, you know, it could have been stuck in brambles or on a cliff, but it could have been cast down somewhere. Now, if a shepherd has a sheep that keeps getting cast down, but the best thing that they can do is to shear it. That's something that the sheep don't like. It's uncomfortable. And see, even as strong Christians, we find that every now and then, well, we mess up. And we get cast down. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You see, sometimes our wool just becomes too fat. And we get all puffed up with pride and other things. And our shepherd has to come, and he's got to get us up, and he's got to shear us with the cutting edge of the word. Hebrews 4:12. Which can, of course, can be unpleasant, but he restores our soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, sheep, they're creatures of habit. And when left to themselves, they will continue to graze in the exact same spot until they just cause it to become a polluted desert waste and they're thin and unhealthy. You're just a bag of bones. But a good shepherd, now he's got a predetermined plan and he rotates the grazing grounds. Well, as you know, people are also stubborn creatures of habit. They prefer to follow their own fancies and what they're comfortable with, even to their own disadvantage, detriment, and destruction. See, the thing is, God created us, and he knows what's best for us, and he always has our best interests at heart. And if we would just listen to him and follow him, he will lead us in the right way. But, of course, we persist in pursuing these old polluted grazing grounds, which only lead to broken homes and broken lives, because we refuse to follow the shepherd. And there is a way which seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12. See, like sheep, people just, well, they just can't seem to find right paths on their own. We've got to pocket our pride and follow the shepherd. John chapter 10, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. And no one will, and they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands." See, the words "hear" and "follow" are in the present tense in the Greek, which, well, it means that they continue to hear and continue to follow. In verse 4 of that chapter, Jesus said of a shepherd, "The sheep follow him because they know his voice." Now, the journalist and travel writer H.V. Morton, he told of something that he observed outside of Bethlehem. And it was near Bethlehem where these two shepherds, well, they sheltered their flocks one night in a cave together. And he thought, how in the world in the morning were they going to disentangle that mess? Figure out whose sheep belongs to whom and you know, just an impossible mess to sort out. But the next morning, one shepherd simply got up, walked out of the cave, called his sheep. Immediately, they all ran to him without any mix-up whatsoever. Why? Because they knew his voice, and they were listening for it. And so, here's the question for us. What voice are you listening to and following? Is it the voice of your friends, family, coworkers, or neighbors? Is it the voice of your teachers or professors? Is it the voice of the politicians or the popular media? Is it the voice of your religious traditions or your religious leaders? You see, I could be leading you astray this very moment. You see, Jesus, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, you notice that Psalm 23 says, "for his name's sake." See, the shepherd's reputation is at stake as a good manager of sheep. Here's the problem. Some people claim to be his sheep, but they're not following him down paths of righteousness. And so, what happens, his name is slandered. Titus chapter 2, Paul is talking about how Christians are to conduct themselves. He made these three statements. That the word of God may not be dishonored, having nothing bad to say about us, and that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. In other words, make it attractive. Make it look good. Romans 2:24, it says of some of the Jews, "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." He will guide us in right paths if if we will follow Him. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Now, many people, they think of this as referring to the time of our death. And it can certainly be applied to that, but I think it's speaking more of going through a scary place or a situation that's threatening death. And we find it used that way in Psalm 44 and 107. And I read that it was common practice in Palestine to leave the home ranch in the summer and to take the sheep up, to take them up to high country. And many times, well, they'd have to lead the sheep through these really deep, dark ravines, these valleys with steep cliffs on either side. And of course, you know, they would be subject to floods and rock slides and predators lurking in the shadows. And, well, sheep, they're very skittish. They're easily frightened. And yes, the Lord's way is narrow, difficult, can be a bit scary at times. And people, like water and electricity, they prefer to take the path of least resistance. It's not always the best thing, not always the best way. As the saying goes, the path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men. See, the shepherd is leading the sheep to high country where there's the lush, green tablelands. And it's not easy to get there, but it is worth it. I fear no evil, for You are with me. And so, you know, in the midst of the misfortunes and the darkest times of in our lives, if we will remember and realize that the Good Shepherd is there, and remember where He is leading us, well, suddenly they're not as bad as they seem, and we can have peace. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, here's an illustration someone drew. And so the rod, that's often speaking of a club that the shepherds would use for disciplining, examining, and defending the sheep. And they could usually throw it with great accuracy. And I read that the shepherd boys would actually have competitions, you know, to show their skills with this rod. And the staff, well, that's speaking of the shepherd's crook. And they'd use it to gently lift a lamb back to its mother, or to pull a lamb or pull a sheep out of the brambles or out of the water, or back up onto level ground if the sheep had wandered into a precarious place looking for a mouthful of grass. And of course, like sheep, we often get into precarious situations not paying attention. And so a sheep could see that rod and staff and feel protected. And likewise, knowing God's ability to protect and to care for us, that gives us comfort. You see, as I read the Word of God and as I look back on my life, and in my mind's eye, I can see God standing there with His rod and His staff. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, some people think that David was shifting here and changing the imagery from a shepherd to a host, God being a host. And, of course, hospitality, very important in that culture. And host was obligated to protect his guests. And David certainly had a lot of enemies. But, well, they couldn't do a thing to him while he was enjoying the hospitality of this host. Well, others think that David was still using the imagery of a shepherd. You see, when the shepherd brought the sheep to the summer ranges, they sought after tablelands, which would be these high, flat areas, maybe a plateau. And you see, a really good shepherd would actually go ahead of time to prepare it, pulling out any poisonous plants, removing any debris from the water holes, and things like that. And Jesus has certainly gone on ahead of us to prepare the way to heaven. Now, predators, they could easily watch the sheep on the open area, but man, they dare not attack with the shepherd there. So they could only hope that one of those sheep would just stray off the tableland and away from the shepherd. And we indeed have a lion watching us, prowling around, seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:8. But if we stay close to the shepherd, we've got nothing to worry about. Now again, we have peace in a possibly dangerous circumstance. You have anointed my head with oil. Now this is not referring to the oil that was used in anointing a king or a priest, you know, in inaugurating them to that office. What it is in that culture, a host would anoint an honored guest with perfumed oil. And so this could be speaking of God honoring us. But a shepherd would actually do that as well. You see, summertime would be full of insects. And the sheep can get this disease called scab from a certain type of mite. Just drive the sheep crazy. And, you know, they'd often refuse to graze. And so from what I understand, the shepherds would anoint their heads with oil, olive oil mixed with sulfur and spices, which would keep the insects away, and it would cure scab. Well, sometimes you see the little annoyances in life. They can really irritate us and torment us, and we get so frustrated that we just can't seem to do anything, and our Christianity gets neglected. And so one possible explanation is that God anoints our heads with the mind and heart of Christ. You see, as we study the Scriptures, we start to see things from God's perspective. And then those things, they're not such a big deal anymore. Your co-worker's annoying habit, your husband's snoring, the seasonal allergies that you have, whatever. So you realize how small those things really are in the grand scheme of things, and that, well, you've got more important things to focus on. I read that another reason to anoint the sheep's heads would be in fall time, when the rams would butt heads over the ewes. And so what would happen is the oil would cause them to just glance off each other, and they wouldn't get as hurt. You see, with God's perspective, it can keep us from being so worried about trying to be top sheep. And with others' criticisms, you know, they just don't hurt as much. Just glance off. My cup overflows. And this is often a figure of speech for having an abundance. You see, with God as our host or as our shepherd, we've got more than enough. He's not stingy. He has a storehouse of blessings for each of us. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "I come that they might have life and might have it abundantly." So what is this life that Jesus wants to give us? Well, I think that it's both spiritual life and even a better physical life while here on earth. Not riches, but a life of peace and hope and purpose and a relationship with God. And then a home with God, an eternal life with God in heaven. Life in every sense of the word, every sense of that word. See, the small taste of life that we naturally get from being born into this world, now that's nothing next to what Jesus wants to give us. And so under the shepherd's care, and you discover just how wonderful life can be. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. Loving kindness comes from a word that means faithful love. See, the future is unknown. But a guest with this host or a sheep with this shepherd, well, knows that goodness and loving kindness will always be in the picture. And that he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. See, that's always going to be the treatment from this shepherd's expert loving care. And if he has truly been your shepherd, looking back on your life, you're easily going to be able to recognize it. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, all the days that are ahead, those known and unknown to us. See, either as a guest or as a sheep back in the home range for winter, there's no desire to leave. There's no desire for a change. And so when someone asks, "What's your future? What's your future going to be like?" I reckon that's a good answer to give. David was perfectly content with his shepherd, and he was happy to tell that to his less fortunate neighbors on the other side of the fence, those neighboring sheep. Now again, under mismanagement, sheep can, you know, and left to themselves, sheep can be the most destructive livestock. But on the other hand, if managed properly, they can be some of the most beneficial livestock. I read that sometimes in ancient literature they were referred to as those of the golden hooves, because they produce wool and lanolin and cheese and meat and so forth. All these things. And similarly, humans have such great potential. Well, toward the end of his book, after talking some more about the sheep and the ranch next to his, Keller said, "Likewise, with those apart from Christ, the old world is a pretty wretched ranch, and Satan is a heartless owner. He cares not a whit for men's souls or welfare. Under his tyranny, there are hundreds of hungry, discontented hearts who long to enter into the household of God, who ache for his care and concern. Yet there is only one way into this fold. That way is through the owner, Christ himself, the Good Shepherd. He boldly declared, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." John 10:9. See, how foolish not to become one of his sheep. And then, how foolish not to continue, after becoming one of his sheep, to continue listening to and following him. This psalm is about a personal relationship with our God. We can know a lot of facts about God, but the question is, do we know God? Anyone can memorize Psalm 23, but do you know the shepherd? If you want to become one of the sheep in his fold, or maybe you've gone astray, do you know you can fix that today? And then God will declare, as in Luke 15 and verse 6, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." And so, as the 4-year-old girl said when trying to quote this psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want." We'd like to offer you the invitation. Maybe you are ready to repent of your sins, to confess the Lord and put him on in baptism, Galatians 3:27. Or if there are any other spiritual needs, you can come forward now as we stand and sing.